Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Ooh, baby, we are on episode number 80. 80, wow. We're an old man.
Just like an old man's voice.
Just 80.
Our podcast is an old man.
Our podcast is a very old man. Thank you so much for every single one of you for sticking with us for 80 episodes.
Yes, thank you. Beautiful. I appreciate you.
Yeah, there's a lot of love online. There's a lot of haters too, but there's a lot of love online that we get from you guys. And so just know that like all of that, we feel all of that.
We really do.
And we love you back.
It's so affirming to feel like when we started this, we have said, we didn't even know if like we'd get 10 viewers, right? 10 listeners.
I don't even think we thought about it.
Oh
so
my God.
Much.
I literally thought it was like my mom and two of her friends. I literally, cause I think it was just three people listening to the podcast.
Yeah. And now that it's kind of just exploding, it's still mind blowing, you know, and talking about feeling the love, it's very fitting because just a quick recap of last episode, we hit the Chatur Shlokis, which are the four most important verses of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And the theme is what? What is the whole theme?
It's love. Love,
love, do, 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 do.
Love, love, love,
do, 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 do.
Love.
Yeah.
No, it's perfect. It's so perfect. Stop. It's perfect. Okay, what is the...
Wonderful.
Chapter 10, text number 8 and 9.
8 and 9 are basically is broken down into the first two verses, 8 and 9, describe what the devotees, what we can do for Krishna, right? And essentially, it's so simple. He just wants our love, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next two verses describe what Krishna does for the devotees, what he does for us. And basically, text 10, which we talked about last time, Krishna provides us with the knowledge to help in choosing wisely to attain him. He gives us guidance and how to figure out our path back home. And all we have to do is surrender, is give him love. That's all he wants. And text 11, he talked about how he dissipates the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. So it's really just beautiful. It's like this dance, this back and forth between us and Krishna. And I mean, it's so natural that the topmost thing we'd strive for is love, because when we think about what do we value most in this realm, what are the moments of life, of experiences, of human expression that affect us the most? It has to do with matters of the heart, right? It's about love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, most people that when they have flashbulb moments of their life, they think about, I don't know.
Their taxes.
Eating a sandwich. Like those are the mundane aspects. The ones that really shake us to our core have to do with love. So we're striving for the ultimate divine loving relationship.
Yeah, it always has to do with love and relationships.
Yeah,
and like
right?
The power of that.
Oof. Yeah. What do you think of when you think of the power of love?
Oh dun, my dun, God. Dun. I think it's literally the one thing in the world that can move mountains, you know? It's like such a powerful emotion.
Love, look at you, you poet. The one thing in the world that can move mountains.
It is so powerful, you know what I mean? And to channel it in the most proper way is to channel it towards Krishna.
I mean, truly, love can heal physically. Like, it's been shown to heal incredible diseases and sicknesses. The power of love, if we give love to an animal, you know, there's all those cute videos on Instagram how they can heal. Or even like, I don't know, I've seen cases where it heals in irreparable diseases like cancer and anyway.
Love.
The power of love.
For sure.
So that's why it's just beautiful that the ultimate thing we're striving for is love with Krishna.
And the most important four verses of the entire book all have the basis as love.
Exactly. And you know what I just thought about? I thought about the word, like when they say like, have you heard of this before? When they say like, when you love someone, it's not just like words, right? It's action, how we show up for them, what we, when thinking of them, how we, it's all of that. That's exactly it, right? It's not just like the, oh, I love Krishna. Because we can say we love Krishna, right? But it's not just, oh, I love Krishna. It's showing Krishna you love him. You're in a relationship with him. What you have to like.
Love through actions.
You have to show him with your behavior and like consistency. And we might have bad days, but we love him, right? So we just keep going. We're like, no, but like, I want to be in this relationship.
I love what you said, Priya, because you know what came to my mind? A recent little mini conversation that I'll share briefly, because you were saying it's not just words, right? We can say, oh, I love you, or oh, like, but it's kind of, there's a disconnect, right? It's actions, it's feeling it to your core. And we have this friend of ours, Sophie, shout out to Saki Leela. We love her. She's like a big fan of the podcast and encourages us. Anyway, we went over to her house to play and take care of her little son, the cutest kid, Nimai. We were there. Her dad was visiting, so we got to meet her dad. So her dad is a professional. He plays the violin, and he's a composer. He feels music deeply, you know? So we were really bonding. I didn't think we'd have this overlap of connection. We were bonding over, like, I told him how I used to figure skate, and I skated to Tosca by Puccini, this emotional opera. And he was like, his eyes lit up, and he's like, Tosca by Puccini. And we were connecting over all of these beautiful pieces of music, but they're not just the light ones. They're the gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, ooh, yeah, like songs that touch your core. And at one point, I was showing him a song, and I closed my eyes. And when I opened them, he was looking at me, and he says, what I wish for you is that you will meet someone who feels this as deeply as you do. Because you don't just, and this is the part that you touched upon, Pri, he said, you don't just intellectually, like, oh, very nice, I love that. You don't just intellectually feel it. You feel it. And he said, your heart bleeds when you hear it. And I was like, yes, it's an expression that you feel all coursing through your body. You feel it viscerally. And that is exactly what we're striving for with Krishna. And that to me is what I thought of when, Priya, you said, it's action. It's a practice that lives and breathes through us. It's not just, yes, I love Krishna. I check, chanted all my rounds today. Check, followed Ekadasi. It's not a checklist. It's a feeling.
And so we're striving to fall in love with Krishna just as, like, we're falling in love with the sound of Puccini.
It's a Puccini. Yes, it's this beautiful Tosca. It's a beautiful opera by Puccini, Tosca. It's la, 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 na, 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 bum, bum,
okay.
Bum, bum, bum,
check
bum.
It out. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Go look up Puccini, okay?
Anyway.
That's my new favorite word today. Puccini. That's good.
It is a cool word. Yeah. It is a
good word. All right. Anything else on the wrap up, ladies?
No, no.
All right. The invocation,
oh,
please.
Oh my gosh. That was just a summary. I was like, yeah, we got to keep going.
Dum, 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 dum.
You know what? It's like when you fall in love with people, you're like, time flies. That's like what's happening here. Like, oh my God. Was that just a summary? It felt like an eternity.
I feel Puccini when I see you.
Oh, baby. Oh. That's so sweet. I feel Puccini when I see you guys. You're in the room with us.
Now you're in the room, okay? She just wanted to be invited. That's it. She's in the room with Puccini playing.
Anyways.
All right, invocation, please, ladies.
Om Gyana Dinirambhata. Wait.
All right, take a deep breath.
You know, I love you because we talked about doing it with strength and I thought of Puccini.
More deep breath. Okay. One more deep breath.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Om Gyana Dinirambhata. Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
That was nice. Jai. Okay, a translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
I literally have tears in my eyes from controlling the laughter.
That was really good. Like, yeah, it was powerful. I like that
when
one.
We start deep.
I felt it.
I know.
It was so different than the other invocations. Okay. Yeah, let's do it at that level.
Okay. Nice.
I need it at a 10 from here on out, okay?
Beautiful. And talking of the invocations, we mentioned in the last purport that it was the first time that we talked about Krishna being the bearer of the torchlight of knowledge that dissipates darkness, which means that the spiritual master who does that is doing it on behalf of Krishna.
It's like an Olympic race, and Krishna passes us to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master just lights the way.
Oh, that's so good.
Thank you.
And then we're running, and I might stumble a little. Here you go, Priya. I'm almost there, Priya. I got you. And then I'll finally hand it to you.
Yeah.
You know, so we're doing our best. We got it.
This shining light of knowledge has come up a lot, much. And it's like, I know what Paris Olympics are happening. So every time I see anything Olympics, I'm going to remember this.
You know what? I didn't even know it was happening in Paris.
Paris 2024. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, and I feel like when people listen to this podcast like 50 years from now, they're going to be like, what? Paris 2024? I hope people are listening to this podcast 50 years from now.
That's a prediction. It will happen.
Hopefully this podcast lives beyond our our time here on earth. Yeah. That would be like my dream. Whoa. As to like people who are like super young, who are like, I need to figure out the purpose of life. And the three of us, we're all long gone and dead, but like the Krishna's words live on through this podcast.
Oh my God, you guys, you both are adding such meaning to my life, because beyond our physical form, once we leave, our words will live on. That's really moving to think that, like, oh my gosh, we're not going to be present one day, and what the words I'm uttering right now, hello, 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 we'll live on for an eternity.
Yeah.
We're going to edit that part out.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, of course, our words discussing Krishna's words.
Yes.
I think it's kind of funny, because if this goes on and people listen to it many, many years from now, like, so many cultural references will make sense.
God, we're going to be so outdated.
Very, very outdated.
They're like, Taylor Swift and Travis. Who is that?
What? Are we talking about the Swift kids? Like, at that point, it'll be like a whole other generation. Wow, and we will be very dated.
But hopefully the message
sticks through, because it's a ever eternal, everlasting
timeless
message.
Totally.
Timeless.
All right. Chapter 10, text number 12-13.
This is lovely, because even if we get through one, we'll have gotten through two.
We're trying to get through more than two. All right, Priya Darshini.
It's our new goal in life to get through more than two texts per episode.
Absolutely. We're thorough for you guys.
And for us.
And for us.
And for us.
For us to really understand it. Okay, let's do this. Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest." All the great sages, such as Narada, Ashita, Devala, and Vyasa, confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me.
Wow.
Arjuna is speaking after a very long time.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah, Krishna's been going on and on and on. And this is the first time Arjuna is speaking in a very long time.
Oh my God. And this is also the first time he's speaking after hearing Krishna's like proclamation of love. Yes. We just read the Chatur Slokis. It's all about love and reciprocation. And now Arjuna is saying his piece, you know?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. And even in the purport, Prabhupada says, Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita, in this chapter became completely free from all doubts and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He at once boldly declares, "You are Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
Wait, I have a question, guys. So Arjuna is essentially saying, Krishna, you're amazing. You're the absolute truth. You're eternal. You're like,
you're home.
You're the OG. You're home, right? And everyone else knew this about you, but now you're telling me this. Mm-hmm. Now, did Arjuna know this at the beginning of this conversation on the battlefield? Or did he know it like recently in the last couple chapters?
It's like, okay, it's kind of like how you can kind of know something, but not really fully know it.
Right.
Like you heard from a friend that this person's great and you kind of seen them being great, but like you don't know.
Right.
So I think he kind of knew, but he wasn't so sure.
But now that Krishna doubled down on all of his goodness, he's like, oh yeah, you're the OG.
Another perspective is that he's also kind of like pretending like he didn't know for our sake. He knew, but like he's kind of like, this is what struggle I would be going through if I didn't know who you are, what my purpose is, and all of that stuff.
Well, to me, like, okay, Arjuna's in a relationship with Krishna just like we all are. So think of real world relationships. Mm-hmm. When you choose to commit to someone and you fall in love with them, you know what their worth is, what their value is. But then imagine 10 years later, then you know, like, whoa, I know you, I see you, I love you. So you knew back then, but then you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, no.
I know no. Like, I love how you say things twice. Like, there's a joke. Like, the guy was like, he's like, you have cancer. And he's like, you mean cancer. Like, when you say things twice, it's like real.
It's like real. So, like, Arjuna knew, like, he knows that Krishna's God at the beginning of this Gita.
Now he knows.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good question though.
That was a good question. I like that.
Thank you.
And we're still on a battlefield. We sometimes have to remind her.
We're still on the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Exactly. So basically, and I love this one part of the purport. It says, now by his grace, now by Krishna's grace, Arjuna is accepting him as the supreme truth. Meaning Krishna has to give us his grace in order for us to truly know him, you know?
No.
And I love that it says, it's not because Krishna's Arjuna's intimate friend that Arjuna's just flattering him by calling him the supreme personality of Godhead and the absolute truth. Like, you know how sometimes you might flatter your friend and be like, God, you know, I don't know. But yeah, he's really just saying it from a deep place of, wow, of experiential knowledge.
Yeah, he's calling out the fact that Krishna is declaring it now, you know,
right.
Which is kind of cool.
Right.
Because how many holy books out there that we have a God character saying, I am God, you know, a lot of holy books out there are fables and like God said this and God said that. But like this is like God saying that he is God, God.
And yes. Arjuna says, I know. Now.
I know. No. Right?
It's good. Yeah, right.
Right? Oh, God. Priya, did you have something to say?
No, that was great.
That was good.
I love it. We start creating our own codes within language.
I love
beautiful.
It.
And you know, it's interesting because here it says, Prabhupada says, each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunction. And here's Prabhupada kind of really honing in on the fact that this isn't just some made up story that Arjuna is saying, okay, Krishna, you're God. Like every single Vedic injunction points to the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. One example, he says, the Mundaka Upanishad confirms that the Supreme Lord in whom everything is resting can be realized only by those who engage constantly in thinking of him. And he goes on for a whole ending paragraph of the purport to say, in this Vedic literature, in that one, and in that one, it all points toward Krishna's the purest of the pure, the source of everything, the this, the that. So Prabhupada really wants to add weight to the fact that Krishna's the supreme. These aren't just empty words. It's been established everywhere because there might be in the Vedas some confusion of like, oh, no, Krishna is not the supreme. But Prabhupada's really trying to add weight to Arjuna's words.
Love that. Yeah. And you can kind of feel the weight of this verse too, you know, like Arjuna's not just using flattering language. Like he is using very like eternal godly language.
Right.
And I kind of love that. Like it's giving authority, you know?
You said that.
I've been spending too much time with your millennial sister.
Oh my goodness.
Like it's giving like superior.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty great verse. I think it's pretty like Arjuna is saying that, hey, like you are the OG. Everyone says you're the OG. And now you're telling me you're the OG.
Right.
And I really believe it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think he's going to keep going, yeah?
Yeah. And he just concludes by saying, so not only does Arjuna confirm this, that Krishna is the OG, but so do all Vedic literatures, so do all the Puranas and all the histories. He's trying to really cover his bases here towards the end of the purport that this is a history of what really happened. How many thousands of years ago? 5,000 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and all of the Vedic literatures pointed towards this everything.
Yeah. Also, the OG, if anybody's listening and doesn't know what the OG is.
Because they're listening in 120 years.
OG means original gangster. And so.
Oh, my God.
Are we that dumb?
We are.
Wait, you guys didn't know that?
We both, like, dropped our jaw and looked at each other like, oh,
but
snap.
No, but it's, like, a term in rap music to be, like the pioneer, like, the best.
The original.
The original, yeah. The original.
That's gangster. What I thought it stood
for. I thought it was
for.
Just original, but I didn't remember the gangster
Me
part.
Me neither.
Wow.
That's how long. This is an old term.
OG.
Yeah.
Krishna's the OG. Now that both of you know what OG means, it's like, no, he's the original onion and garlic. Original gangster.
And he doesn't want to see any other onion and garlic other than,
what?
I'm not going to finish that.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the next verse?
Nope.
No, let's keep going.
All right.
Text 14.
Chapter 10, text 14. Arjuna says, "Oh Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality."
Mm-hmm. I love that. They say, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna and that he is the perfect one. I love how they call him the perfect one. So one should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. Let's follow the path of Arjuna.
Yeah. I think this is kind of also reiterating that idea that Arjuna is showing himself to be like the perfect disciple or the perfect listener and executioner of Krishna's words.
Right.
And sometime later it says, it talks about the parampara system, yeah, which we've talked about before, which is the lineage.
The lineage.
I'm sorry, what?
The lineage. She sometimes reverts to like, it talks about the lineage.
I really try to say that correctly.
Did you say that in Spanish?
Lineage.
Lineage. Thank
you.
Okay. Got it. Nice.
Anyways, yeah, it was in Spanish before. And I'm just kidding. Okay, so parampara system is basically how the knowledge came from Krishna directly, and at some point it got lost.
Right.
Right. Yep. So because the idea is that if my grandfather told my father exactly the words, no deviation, no speculation, and then my father tells me, right? And again, no deviation, no speculation, and then I tell my daughter, and that goes on and on, and it doesn't have to be parents, it doesn't have to be that, it's just kind of explaining it, but usually it was like from Krishna to someone, to someone, and there's a whole list, and you can look this up, and it's really cool. At some point, that got broken, whether we should look that
up. You know, in the Gurukul, in the, like the devotional school I went to growing up, there was a whole Brahma Madhva. I knew list. It all. When I was like five.
Oh, yeah. So Krishna tells it to Brahma, and it goes on and on.
I'm still hooked on you having a daughter. I just had that thought. I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. But like, that's what it is. Like, no,
she doesn't have a daughter.
This pretend daughter.
The funniest point that she got hooked on.
No, that's such a sweet thought.
Is this a premonition that you're having right now?
No, because maybe. I would love to pray to have a daughter. But you know what I mean? Like, this is like how it gets passed down. And like, hopefully, like, that's exactly what Krishna would have wanted, you know.
I mean, we're her podcast children, so
no, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying is like all of us technically are following through this parampara, and we're teaching it to the generations, and on and on and on.
That's exactly what I meant by that. Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's also wonderful, and I think that's exactly what we should be doing. But as well as this, how did it get to us?
Right.
If we look about how it got to us,
like, you said it was lost. So then what happened?
So like Prabhupada is like the last person that gave it to us, right? Like to give you perspective of how the lineage. Oh my God.
No, you got it.
Did I?
Lineage.
Okay. Anyway, so it got lost, right?
Right.
And so basically, this particular moment in the middle of a battlefield
when
Krishna is talking to Arjuna is that parampara system that's starting over. So Krishna is telling it directly to Arjuna and then Arjuna can teach it on forward, right?
That's so interesting that like, right, as you say, it was lost. Krishna came back to reestablish the disciplic succession with Arjuna. Why? Because he considers Arjuna his intimate friend and not only that, a great devotee as well.
Yeah. And it says the acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated, right? So the idea is that Arjuna is like our teacher,
right?
Like we are learning from him what he is learning from Krishna.
Whoa, like Arjuna is like the steadfast warrior, Kshatriya, pure devotee, eternal associate of Krishna. And he was selected to rejuvenate, Prabhupada says, the whole lost knowledge from passed down from guru to disciple, guru to disciple, guru to disciple.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I highlighted something in the purport where
you
it's
did?
Like, yeah. I like sometimes highlight the purport.
No, she teases me for highlighting too much. I just couldn't let that slide.
It's only like one line though. Okay. It's only one line. Let's not get crazy. Okay. All right. So like Arjuna is saying, okay, I accept everything that you told me. And then in the purport, Arjuna says that he confirms that people that are faithless cannot understand Krishna. And so like, it kind of makes me feel bad for atheists a little bit because understanding Krishna or the journey to understand Krishna is so beautiful.
Right.
And like,
right.
We get so much enjoyment from that. And Arjuna confirms here that people who don't have faith can never understand Krishna.
Yeah. But I do think, and I agree with that statement. And I also think that at some point in their life, Krishna will come their way.
Yeah.
Because I've had conversations with atheists and it was a conversation about like Krishna consciousness.
And now they're devotees?
Huh?
And now they're devotees?
Not yet, but they heard about Krishna and that's the first step.
You said the word Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay, you know perfect. What's funny to think, because what Priya, with what you're saying, I agree that I think, you know what? Everyone's a devotee, whether they recognize it or not. Because what is a devotee? It means We are, first of all, we're just a little tiny fragment of the whole. We're part of Krishna's eternal energy. Then we also turn to him in a loving way. So just because those people haven't turned to him in a loving way doesn't mean they won't down the line.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like what you're saying.
Yeah. I think they're like, it's kind of like if we're talking about being a devotee as a, someone being in a relationship with Krishna, yeah. An atheist is someone who is in a different country and hasn't even met the person they're supposed to be in a relationship with.
I love that way to put it. I love that way to get it. Say it again.
That's so, nice.
So it's just like they're in a long distance relationship and haven't met. No, they haven't even met the person yet.
Yeah. If being in a relationship, if being a devotee is like being in a relationship with Krishna, right? Mm-hmm. Then an atheist is just someone who is in a different country who hasn't met the person that they're going to be with.
Yeah, that's so true. Because so many people that I've talked to who don't believe in God just, they haven't found what clicks yet, the path that clicks yet, the moment that's made them be like, aha,
for sure.
They've wanted to, but they just haven't. It hasn't struck a chord yet.
Yeah. Not all religions answer all our questions.
Right. It's true.
It make people doubt, and doubt festers. Thank you.
No problem.
And that could become atheism. Right. Again, many reasons, right? Many reasons can. So I don't. They'll find Krishna.
Yeah. Somehow.
Hopefully.
It reminded me of just this silly little video that popped up talking about meeting your person. A guy was like in the middle of a mountain in the middle of nowhere with a cup of coffee saying, to my future wife who's out there praying that I won't meet anyone. It's working. So please stop praying.
wait. Say it again.
He was like, to my future wife who's out there praying that I won't meet anybody else. It's working. All right. Please stop praying. And then people in the comments were like, your future wife be praying for all of us out here.
That's good.
Anything else on text number 14?
No, second text. Shama Sangeet.
Can I say one line?
Yeah.
It says, unless one is in the disciplic succession, he cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita.
Dun, dun, dun.
Meaning
so kind of like you need to understand it from a bona fide source, like from a legit teacher.
From someone who wants to be in this path, is in this path, understands Krishna, is practicing something, right?
Yeah.
Ideally a guru.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if you're not initiated, if you're learning from the right sources, you're fine.
Like
still.
Right now where you're like, this is a preliminary like book club.
Yeah.
Like we're just your buddies. We're just learning together. We're learning ourselves. You can go on and learn furthermore from someone even like someone.
As you should. You really should. Because we are not bonified.
We are not experts.
We're not bonified at all.
We are not. So please, if this is something that you enjoy, please seek a bonafide
What could be a next step they take? Someone who's listening to the podcast, loves all this, and wants more. What are some next steps?
There's tons and tons of classes that they can take by different people. There's some by the Bhaktivedanta Manor, right?
Yeah.
They have like Bhagavad Gita courses. And those are like very, very well thought out. They're created by scholars.
Yes.
And so they'll give you like the profound knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita in a way that we are not quite doing in this moment. We're trying our best and we're sharing and we're learning together, but that's not necessarily our MO.
Yeah.
They can also do, their local temple might have a Bhakti Shastri class.
Right.
That's Bhakti Shastri. And that includes the Bhagavad Gita as well as other books such as The Science of Self-Realization.
Where would they find their local ISKCON temple?
Online.
They just type ISKCON
near me.
Yeah.
ISKCON near me. That's ISK.
We need actionable steps.
ISKCON.
Near me.
Yeah. And those are some ways. You can also reach out to us at the Modern Yogi Podcast Instagram and we can help you out in any way.
And I would say try to also spiritualize your Instagram, like follow people who inspire you. Like what are some devotional accounts on Instagram that you like that like so much garbage pops up on our feed? How can we make sure that some interesting things pop up on our Instagram?
There's a lot of gurus actually in Krishna consciousness. Devamitra Swami, Indrajuma Swami,
Vaisheshika Maharaj,
Radhana Swami. So if you if I said a lot of names really fast, feel free to DM us. We'll send you some links as to some people that you can follow. And honestly, 100%. Just even following that changes your consciousness when you're scrolling through social media.
So ideally, just follow the Modern Yogi Podcast and we'll get you to everyone else.
That's true. That's true.
Good one. That's good. Very nice.
Okay, so before we move on, we've actually on the third verse.
Oh my gosh.
So Shamli, if you could take it away.
It's seldom that I read a verse. Three verses. Alrighty. Text 15. Who's speaking?
You. I mean, Arjuna.
And then Shamli joined them on the chariot and said,
I've never seen you in any of the any of the paintings. That's so crazy.
I know, right? I look so young.
She just had her whole armor on. That's why you couldn't tell.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the one on the left, the soldier that you can't really see his face.
Okay, got it.
Anyways.
I'll tell you my skincare routine later.
Okay.
Text 15.
Nice. Okay. Indeed, you alone. Wait, who did we say speak?
Arjuna.
Right. Okay. Indeed, you alone, Krishna, yourself, by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe.
Wait, I don't know what you just said. Can you say that again? Just pause with the commas.
I'm not used to reading the text.
We're not used to going to 3 texts per episode, so Shelley doesn't know how to read anymore.
I'm crying.
That's hilarious.
I was waiting for the next part of the sentence, and there was an exclamation point at the end, and I thought, wait.
Shelley teaches Spanish, so this makes sense, actually.
I'm crying.
English is a little bit harder.
Shut up. I speak English just fine. I spoke English growing up.
I speak English good.
Okay, stop making her laugh.
Okay, we're doing chapter 10, text number 15. Arjuna is speaking.
Okay. Oh, God. Indeed. You alone.
Do you want me to read it?
I'm like melting all over my face. No, I got it. I can try one more time. I promise. Okay. Indeed. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of God, Lord of the universe.
Yes!
That's
my girl.
I got you. Nailed it. It's not
okay. I kind of want you to read it again.
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry.
No one still understood it.
Okay, I got it.
Just slowly, super slowly.
I hope Ella doesn't create this into any reels because I'm just like tears coming
She's
down.
I'm crying.
It's a mess. Okay. Indeed. Did Arjuna say indeed? Maybe. That's funny. Maybe.
You got this.
Okay. Because the Sanskrit is svayam. No.
I'm sorry.
Indeed. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency. So only Krishna knows himself by his own internal potency.
Yep.
O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of God, Lord of the universe.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that Arjuna says God of gods.
I was just thinking that.
Isn't that so powerful?
Yeah.
Like imagine the God of all gods. Krishna. And I don't think like that term has ever been said in the Gita till date. So for Arjuna to like it really shows the authority that Arjuna is recognizing in Krishna,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord you know of
came,
the universe.
What came to mind is I don't think we can even fathom or imagine how powerful Krishna is because like if you've seen Dune 2, there's one moment where Timothée Chalamet.
Go on.
Yeah, I surprise myself all the time. Timothée Chalamet, he really steps into himself as a powerful leader. And by the end of the movie, I won't give any spoilers, but like we all left there being like, whoa.
He's the main character.
Powerful.
Yeah?
He's the main character and he's supposed to be this like the whole, the essentially like the Messiah. Like there was all of these.
Don't tell us the movie. You have to say spoilers.
I'm never going to watch Dune 2. It's fine.
Okay. I will, and other people who are listening.
And this isn't a spoiler, but there was all of these prophecies that the Messiah will come. It'll be a young boy. It'll be like this, like that. And finally he comes and like in the beginning, he's more humble.
I think you're telling us too much.
No, I'm really not.
I already zoned out.
Yeah. Okay. So by the end of the movie, he kind of thunderously booms with his voice and commands control. And you're like, you're taken aback because it's the opposite of his character. And then you're left thinking, oh my God, what power. And I thought, okay, if you can think that about little skinny Timothée Chalamet in this movie, I mean, not to put him down, he's cool, but what to speak of the God of all gods? It was just like a flash of a thought. Like think of whatever movie star you think freaking powerful.
Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Who?
Gal Gadot, Wonder
Gal Gadot.
Woman. Wonder Woman, yeah.
Right.
So powerful.
Yes. Imagine that. Can we even imagine the God of gods? Like,
wow.
Can we imagine?
Yeah. I can picture it. For some reason, I think of it as like the Hercules movie. Mm. You know, when Zeus was like surrounded by all the other gods, but it's Krishna instead of Zeus. You know what I'm talking about?
That scene? Zeus.
It sounds like you're saying like short for Susie.
You know when Zeus? Wait. Is that the superhero that you think is the most powerful? Like, who's the most powerful superhero to you?
I was just thinking of the imagery of God of Gods. Like, I just picture like
Zeus, who is like the Greek mythology God of Gods.
Well, because there's like in the cartoon animated Hercules, there's a scene in which you get to see all the gods and they're like surrounding Zeus, and he is like the almighty God. Like, he's their leader. Right. So I was thinking of Krishna in sort of that visual position.
Yeah. Like, imagine him on the golden chariot with his, like, they always show his hair a little like up to shoulder, like billowing in the wind, totally in control.
God of Gods. Lord. That's amazing. So, anything else on this verse?
I mean, we haven't dove into the purport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like the beginning of it where it says the Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in a relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service. And that's totally such a human concept, because how do we know someone? We get into a relationship with them. How else would you know someone? Like,
or a friendship.
A friendship. That's also a form of a relationship. So, I mean, it's really through being in a relationship with Krishna that we're going to do that. And it says the Bhagavad Gita is the statement of Krishna. And since it's the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood it. I love that. The science of Krishna, like Krishna's the goal, the end goal of all of this. Mm-hmm. It's the science of Krishna. And the funny thing is that's ultimately also the science for us, how to be happy, connected to Krishna, you know?
Full circle.
Full circle.
I love that.
It goes on to say that the supreme truth, or just like all knowledge that we're supposed to know, is realized in three aspects. And we've talked about this a lot. So it's just it's just kind of like a bringing it up again to remind us of things that we've talked about before. And it says the first part is Krishna as the impersonal Brahman, right? Mm. We've talked about this. It's like the effulgence, that yellow light that you people imagine when they don't see a personal form of God, right? Yeah. When
like that aura, that light.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Now that's one aspect. The next aspect is the localized Paramatma. And that means Krishna in everyone's heart. Right? Krishna sits right next to your heart and he's always there. And that's the second aspect of Krishna. And then the last aspect is Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm. So I feel like if you think about it imagery wise, it's like, have you ever seen that picture of Krishna where he's like showing all his forms in the universe? Like,
yeah.
I think that's like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, he is everything.
Yeah.
Right? And then in personal Brahman, I always just think of like the universe or some like light effulgence, you know, just
sometimes I think of the light that comes off the sun. Actually, it's like the effulgence of Krishna.
Yeah. I like that for Brahman. And then the Paramatma is like a tiny sparkly speck of light that is Krishna.
That's in our heart.
Yeah. And that encompasses pretty much anything you can think of. And that is Krishna in all his forms.
Right. And sometimes it's hard to connect to the personal form because it says even a liberated man who's realized the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma may still not understand God's personality, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's kind of like any relationship. Like, I think the older I get, the more I realize like, it's all kind of connected. I mean, it makes sense. It's all connected. But any relationship you have, it's like you choose someone, like you were saying earlier, because you see like what they bring, their qualities, whatever, right? All of these things. And as you go in the relationship, sometimes you forget those things.
Right.
Yep. There's so many steps in any relationship. Yeah. You can know Krishna and still make mistakes. So many people love each other and they still like do whatever it might be, right? Like whether it's just like a white lie or whether it's like a forgetting something important to them, whatever it might be. So like in a relationship with Krishna, there's just going to be all kinds of not fully even knowing who he is, the same way we don't even know our best friends or our partners or our sisters. Like, for example, my sisters, right? Or brother, any of my siblings, I've known them my whole life and I cannot say with my full heart that I know them fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because relationships in this world, that's so true and deep of a thought, because relationships come like waves that ebb and flow. You feel so connected, then sometimes you feel so distant, so connected. And ultimately it's the conscious decision then to stay. Like, I remember reading ages ago, you know, those little random facts that just stick in your mind. It was a relationship counselor, and she was talking about, sometimes no relationship is perfect. And sometimes even like the night after her wedding day with her husband, she lay in bed that night thinking, oh my God, did I marry the right person? Wow. And he ended up being the love of her life, and they worked through it. But the thing
what a
is,
question though,
right? Yeah. But the thing is, it is work. It is conscious, yeah, dedicated work that you're going to put into it. And just like with Krishna, and that's not because of his imperfections. That's because of our own limitations to understanding and our own shortcomings that we might not feel so connected sometimes and be doubting, is he really God? But I would really urge all of us to just not let your own limitations make you question. And it may, but hopefully you'll always find your way back to that moment of connection.
Yeah, it's like the highway analogy. The deviations are fine, just get back in.
Right, yep. Right.
Stay on the road.
Exactly. Because sometimes our own practice might falter a little bit, and then we'll question,
is this the right thing to do? Should I be doing this with my life? Is Krishna really the answer?
Right. Exactly. But then oftentimes, just like with the relationship in this world and the relationship with Krishna, once you find your center again, you feel fine within that relationship or within your connection to Krishna, because you found your grounding. You're coming from a place of stability once again.
Oh, that kind of made me think about also, like, as I was saying, I think my relationship with my siblings is something that, like, it's another way of thinking about it rather than just a relationship, because it like a romantic relationship. It's a different way. I've known them my whole life, but I'm still learning about them. And I just lost my train of thought. What were you just saying?
You know your siblings.
No, because I was saying you come when you feel better within yourself, and you feel better in that relationship.
Yeah. So even like as we're getting older and we're getting closer to all of us being, adults.
Right.
It's like learning like. I was going to say this. So to learn to also understand that we have a certain amount of capacity.
Right.
And when we're getting to know someone, we sometimes don't have the capacity to be there for them fully. So the same way,
absolutely.
We want to get to know Krishna, but sometimes our capacity is depleted and we're barely like just surviving.
Absolutely.
And so it's like important to do like the taking care of our bodies and taking care of everything, and not forgetting that you still want to maintain that relationship.
Absolutely.
So it's like a mutual.
Compartmentalizing them, knowing that like, okay, I'm depleted. That's not a reflection of how much Krishna loves me. Let me first take care of myself and then reassess that.
Right.
Being able to navigate your way through everything thrown at you in life.
And that also means like being self-regulated, right?
Oh, yeah.
I always tell my partner, it's like, don't have a conversation with me if I'm tired or hungry. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you have to be self-aware
enough to know
like what you need to not be depleted. And then go from there.
You know, the ending part of the purport I just like, and I'm not going to read it all. Just the concept is Prabhupada's highlighting all the different names in Sanskrit, which Arjuna called Krishna in this verse, are for specific reasons. And I think it's really sweet, because he was saying sometimes people who connect more to Krishna in an impersonal way as Bhagavan, they might accept his authority, yet sometimes they can't understand Krishna as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. That's why Arjuna here addresses Krishna as Purushottama. Then a step further, then someone might be able to understand him as Purushottama, but not as the father of all living entities. That's why Arjuna calls him Bhuta Bhavana. And it keeps going step by step by step. And if one understands him as the father, still they might not know him as the supreme controller. That's why he's addressed here as Bhutesha, the supreme controller of everyone. And it goes on and on and on to the end, but that's why in the English, it was so many different supreme person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of God, Lord of the universe. And it felt like, all right, aren't those all similar? But I feel like, I just want to emphasize that in Sanskrit, they're the weight and the meaning is a lot deeper than those English things. Because almost when I was reading it in English, I just felt like, okay, they're all synonyms,
repetitive,
right?
Yeah,
but it's not that way in Sanskrit.
Yeah, it's kind of like your aunt could be your mom's sister, your dad's sister, your uncle's wife. Like the differences in what aunt could be in English. Mm-hmm. But then I know that in like Indian languages and even in other languages, like there's specific words that particularly say aunt, but it means your mom's mom
or it means this.
So I think it could be that kind of translation where it's like there's a deeper understanding.
Right. And that really shows Arjuna's conviction, because he wants to target all the bases. Like if one doesn't believe in you like this, you're that. Now, if one doesn't believe in you like this, you're also that. Like he's
different
trying to cover
to
everything.
See. Yeah.
It's kind of great though.
Yeah.
It's kind of great.
different ways to see Krishna, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to find have a relationship with Krishna and find the way in which we can relate and connect with him.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah?
All right. So we will carry on the next episode with chapter 10, text number 16. Thank you for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.